Glory to God. Go into Exodus chapter 3. Listen, when God gets ready to change a nation, He's going to change a nation by way of commission. And there's things that go with that commission. Today, we're going to look at Moses. God gets ready to do something. There's an order by which He does something. There's an order by which God will shift and change an entire nation. And what the body of Christ is looking for and what the world needs right now, especially this nation, is a massive paradigm shift. And to do that, we got to get with God's program. Amen. We got to get with the way He does it. Amen. The Lord spoke to me. He said, it's not wrong to desire a commission. It's just wrong to appoint yourself. There are a lot of people that self-appoint and put a title up in front of their name just so they can have a title. Hallelujah. What is your name? My name is LaRue, son of God. That's enough for me right now. But listen, people will know you by your fruit. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. When God puts an anointing on you, you want to tell them who you are, what you are. They will see the fruit hanging off your tree. They can even see the fruit before it's full blown. Hallelujah. They can see it in formation. You don't have to tell anybody. Hallelujah. I mean, you look at Richard and Betty Jean, you know that they're evangelists. Amen. Today we're going to see how God changed a nation. You know, Moses knew he was a deliverer a long time before he delivered. Because that deliverer was inside him, but he tried to do it in the flesh like everybody does, like Abraham did. He took matters in his own hands and he killed an Egyptian and buried him in the sand. The next day he sees his brethren fighting. It was in his heart to deliver them. And he was going to go try to end that strife. He said, you're going to kill us like you did that Egyptian? And Pharaoh heard about it. Moses had to flee. It took God 40 years to get that out of him. Listen, when God puts something inside you, especially when you're going to change a nation, He's going to take out of you, you. He's going to take all abilities out of you to do that yourself. Before He gets ready to do something, He's going to get rid of you. You're going to retain your personality, but that part of you that tried to help God out, go slay somebody on your own, He's going to work that out of you with a winnowing fork and a two-edged sword. He is going to remove that part of you that can do it on your own because you're not going to do it. But in the end, you're going to be a part of it. By the time God came to Moses, he said, I can't even speak. We're going to find out today that he had to actually get Aaron to speak for him for a little while. He couldn't even speak. God cut a deal with Moses. All right, I'm going to let you for a little while let Aaron speak. I'll give you the words. You tell him the words. He was completely undone by the time God approached him at the burning bush. Completely undone. Amen. I'm going to show you today how God changed a nation. I want to look at what God did, what He said, what He sent him with. I want to look at how God prepared him. I want to look at the way God changes a nation, because what I'm finding out, it's a thread that runs Old Testament to New Testament. God has a way. When He gets ready to change a nation, there are certain dynamics and fundamentals He is going to set in order. When He does, things are going to shift and change. Amen. So we're going to begin in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro. It's amazing how God will put you around sheep. Abraham, they were all David. Some of the greatest men, he put them around sheep for a long time. And Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert. Say the backside. Sometimes you got to get on the backside of the desert. We're moving out of the backside. Amen. I hope we've spent enough time in the valley of Baca, the valley of weeping. We're moving out to the backside of the desert. And came into the mountain of God. There's going to come a time you're going to move. We are moving into the mountain of God. He's preparing us. I'm telling you, the way God works with us, when He gets ready to do something, He will show us His word. Thy word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We do not move unless His word shows this. We are moving by the light of His word. His word will tell us what to do, how He's going to do it. His word's going to prepare. I don't want my opinion. Our opinion is not going to change this nation. Our personalities is not going to change this nation. The gospel of relevancy is not going to change this nation. We're going to get back to the way he does it. Amen. God has not lost his touch. He challenged the powers of the world with Moses. He broke the back of Pharaoh. And he's going to do it again. Verse 2. Here we go. Everybody heard of eyewitness? First thing he did, what's the first thing the Lord did upon his resurrection? Showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. He calls Moses out of the backside of a desert and said, now you're ready, Moses. 40 years, you are ready. Come up into the mountain of God. I'm now going to prepare you for what you will need to confront the powers of this world. And he said, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire. We're going to find out that angel was not any ordinary angel. That was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Appeared unto him in a flame of fire. Out of the midst of a bush. And he looked and beheld the bush burned with fire. The bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside, God, say God, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Who called out of the bush? God called out of the bush. God was in that bush. He wasn't just in a flame of fire. God was in that flame of fire. He was inside that fire, and what God was about to do was establish his witness. When God gets ready to do something, he's going to do it by testimony. He's going to establish a witness that cannot be counterfeited. Moses said, I will turn aside. He said, Moses, Moses. He said, here I am. He said, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. Notice verse 6. You need, when you read the Bible, you need to read the Bible. You got to meditate, see what it's actually saying. It's verse 6. This is powerful. Moreover, he said, I am. Who's talking to him? God in the bush. The God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face. Say, Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. He wasn't looking just the fire, my friends. He was looking at God in that fire. And it was such an awesome, terrible, glorious sight. It was so powerful, he had to hide himself from it. That's what John and Daniel, I fell at his feet like a dead man. When God appears, it's going to shake you up. It's going to do something. It's going to radically and fundamentally transform something because he's getting him ready to bear witness. He said, you're going to go to the elders with a message. I want to know what the message was. Then you're going to go to Pharaoh with the same message. He was establishing his testimony that I'm about to call my people and you're going to decree to Pharaoh, let my son go. Let my firstborn go. This is my son. Let him go. And he surely will not let him go. Not until God broke his back with signs, miracles, and wonders, and mighty deeds. For I have, the Lord have surely seen, verse 7, the affliction of my people. Listen, God's watching what's going on. He's hearing the cry of this nation. He's hearing the cry of his people. And God is going to raise an apostolic government all over this world. He's going to fill that testimony up. He's going to do it the right way. He's going to arm and equip his people. We're not going to go powerless. You're not going to deliver this nation in this hour without power. I don't care what you look like. I don't care how good you say it. It's not going to get delivered without power. Darkness is just too dark now. They've seen the church. They've heard it all. and they're unimpressed. But they have not heard it all yet, because they haven't heard the testimony that comes from heaven with a mighty Holy Ghost that backs that testimony. They haven't seen the signs, miracles, and wonders that God is going to display to this nation and to this world. It's been a long time since the church has seen them. We've seen the gifts, we've seen the operations, but I'm talking about raw, authentic, apostolic power. The first thing he's doing is establishing. He did it with the Lord, he did it with the apostles, he did it with Paul, he did it with Peter. When God gets ready to change the world, he's going to do it his way. And his way is the same way. Verse 8. I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up to a land, a good land, a large land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Verse 8. Oh, we got a new land. A new land of milk and honey. Amen. Say a new land. It's not going to be like it is right now. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. It's not going to be like it is now. God has not done all this and said all this and shown us all this to leave us powerless. He's making preparation for testimony to the world. Whew. Verse 10, come now therefore and I will send thee unto Pharaoh. I'm going to send you. When God gets ready to do something, he's going to establish the testimony first, and then he's going to send you. Some get sent and some get up and went. Now we're all to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Absolutely. That is a great commission. But there is another commission that's commissioned by God Almighty, ordained by God Almighty, appointed by God. When you're an appointed person, or you're an appointed work, an appointed government, when that happens, there's going to be a paradigm shift in the world you live in. He's not going to leave the city to save these men that have come into our city and turned the world upside down. We can't turn anything upside down. Oh, but he can. God's going to give us the equipment. How do you know? Because that's what we're asking him for. We've identified there's a certain way you do things. And we'd just like you to do it the same way for our generation. Here is your precedence. I don't have my constitution, but normally I'd be holding that constitution up. Here is your precedence. This is the way you do it. Why would he not do it for our generation? The most prophetic generation of all generations is ours. The generation that will see the coming of the Lord. He's not going to leave his church powerless. Shuraman. Verse 13, now the Lord's going to commission him. He shows himself in the burning bush and Moses can't even look upon him because the sight is so awesome, terrible and glorious at the same time. I mean, he is looking at God in that bush. Now his witness. Notice what he's going to tell him. Notice the message he's going to send him with. Notice what he tells him to tell them when you go. Verse 13, Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of our fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say, what is his name? What shall I say? Oh, I love God. Don't you like this? Tell him I am sent you. Tell him I am that I am sent you. You can imagine they hadn't seen Moses in 40 years. He's going to show up and say, God spoke to me. He appeared to me.
Well, what is his name?
I am that I am. Now notice this. Pay attention to this. Pay attention to the little things. What does God tell him to tell them besides, I am sent you? I am a sent man. Listen, when we get sent, all of heaven will back you. When you get sent, it's different than going went. When you get sent by heaven, one mightier will stand next to you. The Holy Ghost, he'll shift and change from that comforter. And that glorious teacher and that leader and that God to a full-blown manifestation and demonstration. He'll shift from the dove to the lion. He'll shift and become a lion. He'll stand with the church in power and in glory and miracles, signs and wonders. He'll shake buildings. He shifts. I'm stirred up today because this first time he's really letting me start to look into the commission process. If God's showing us the commission, we're getting ready to get commissioned. It's not wrong, you write this down, to desire a commission from heaven. You ought to desire, because when God commissions you, he'll back you up. It's a difference when you pray for somebody in a wheelchair uncommissioned and pray for somebody commissioned, because when you pray somebody commissioned, that person's going to get out because you've been sent. You've been commissioned from heaven. There's a difference. You stand before the pharaohs of the earth. A difference when you're commissioned. Don't go standing before a pharaoh without being commissioned. When you're commissioned, even King Agrippa said, Paul, you almost persuadeth me to be a Christian. Felix, on the other hand, or it was Festus, he trembled when Paul was speaking to him. The Holy Ghost fell on me, trembled, and asked Paul to depart from him. He was a governor, but then he went back and saw him for 2 years, communed with him often. Holy Ghost came on him. Some people just can't handle the glory. God said moreover to Moses, verse 15, Exodus 3, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of our fathers, God of Abraham, God of Isaac. Now God's telling him to say this. You shall say to the children of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Jacob has sent me unto you. Verse 16, go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of our fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob hath appeared unto me. Go tell them that I appeared to you. How'd you like that mission? 40 years on the backside of the desert, you're going to go before the nation and get the elders and God has appeared to me. In a burning bush. Spoke to me out of a bush. Afraid to look upon him. He's appeared to me. He's ready to deliver you. What was Moses? What's his first reaction? They're not going to believe me. I appreciate the fact you've taken all this time to show yourself alive by the many infallible proofs of that bush. I couldn't even look upon you. I believe, but they're not going to believe me. He said, I'm not descending you with that. That's only phase one. God knows what he's doing. Amen. Hallelujah. He knows what he's doing. But he tells them, go tell them that I appeared to you. Go give your testimony. The God of heaven has given you eyewitness testimony. He's very much alive and he's about to deliver this whole nation from the strongest ruler that's ever lived. He's going to break his back. He's going to bow. He's going to cause that man to bow down low. And I've said, I will bring you up out of the afflictions. And they hearkened unto his voice. And they shall hearken to thy voice. And thou shalt come, thou and the elders, verse 18, unto king of Egypt. And you shall say to him, once the elders believe you, then you're going to go to the king of Egypt, Pharaoh. And this is what you're going to tell him. I'm going to put my word in your mouth, Moses. This is what you're going to say to him. Look at verse 18. See, you got to get the way God does things. He establishes a testimony. Then he's going to establish the power behind that testimony. Then he's going to go and tell everybody what you just saw. I cannot but speak the things we have seen and heard. Paul, I have appeared to thee for this purpose. Well, I'm telling you, it's going to happen. Whether you believe it or not, it's still going to happen. Verse 18, and they shall hearken to your voice. He should have put eventually. Go to the elders. They're going to eventually hearken to your voice. And thou shalt come, thou and the elders with Israel, unto the king of Egypt, Pharaoh. And you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us. You're going to go to Pharaoh and tell him, God has met with us. You're going to go and tell him, God has appeared to us. How'd you like that calling? You better not go with the gospel of word only. Where our gospel came unto you in word only. Not in word only, but in demonstration and power. You're not going to deliver a nation. No more than Jesus was going to shift a dispensation without power. He goes, my doctrine is not mine, but him that sent me. I've been sent. I don't speak of myself. I speak of him that sent me. That's what we're looking for, my friends, to be sent. With all that God's given us to be sent. You're going to see the whole difference in the world. The Lord didn't go without power. Moses didn't go without power. Paul didn't go without power. Peter didn't go without power. And what makes us think the church is going to do it without power? The church is never, you're never going to win the world with a theological argument, especially the Muslim world. Have you seen their churches on the Beltway 8? They're popping up everywhere. They want a foothold in our nation. Somebody came, one of our dear friends, she used to be a Muslim. She says, don't think when they smile to you, they like you. Because inside that place, they'll teach them to hate you. And I mean, not all of them are like that. But that spirit does not like Christianity. They want world domination. Got quiet in here. You think you're going to go win them with a theological argument? You go over there, their side of the world, over there, they're willing to kill themselves already for whom they consider God. You're not going to convert them with a theological argument. But they are going to have a witness in this last hour. Because I'm going to tell you one thing. If mama or daddy or junior or spouse is as an incurable disease, and they know that there's a living God, they'll get over their doctrine real quick. And when they see God heal, deliver, and set free, they'll know their God could not do that. Exodus chapter 4. Don't know how I got off on that. Now this is good. You ready? So he establishes the eyewitness and then he commissions him to go. You see, there's an eyewitness and there's a commission to go. Just like the disciples. He establishes the witness, gives them the word, tells them to go, but wait. Go, but wait. I give you the commission to go into all the world, but now wait. Exodus 4 verse 1. That's what you're waiting on, by the way. Commission from above. The final testimony to be established. But God doesn't show you this stuff to toy with you. It's not his way. Exodus 4, verse 1, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, God. You're asking me to go tell an entire nation that you've appeared to me in a burning bush. And I'm not even eloquent of speech. I already tried that one time to deliver them. Pharaoh cast me out. Now you're telling me to go back. And once more you're telling me to tell them that you appear to be in a burning bush. God's saying, that's right. You go tell them I am that I am showed up. See, it's not enough. The witness in the word is not enough. That's not what broke the back of Pharaoh. That was part of it. You put them all together and it's enough. Verse 2, and the Lord said to him, what is in your hand? Oh, here we go. What is in your hand? A staff, he says, cast to the ground. It turns into a serpent. And Moses fled from it. He said, put it forth in your hand and straightened out again. Now look at verse 5. Here goes. Ready? That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. Basically saying, I will do signs so they'll believe. I'm not going to send you with mere words, Moses. I'm going to send you with miracles, signs, wonders, and demonstration. You're not going with just words. You're not going with the eyewitness alone. You're not going just with the commission. I'm going to back your words up. Oh my God, when we get that, you're going to see this city shake. They'll believe that I appeared to you. Then he says, if that's not enough, I'll give you some more. Give me some more. Hey, listen, if your first level of testimony don't work, God will give you some more. It will say more testimony. More testimony. More power. More glory. I want some more. I got some soul. I tell you that. I got it. Verse 6. And the Lord said, furthermore. It's in your Bible. Put thy hand in thy bosom. You put it in there and it came out leprous. You stick it back in there. And it was healed again. Verse 8. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee. You know what the Lord said? If you don't believe what I say to you, believe the works, for they will testify that I'm the Son of God. He's saying the same thing to Moses in the Old Testament. It came to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, they will believe the voice of the latter sign. They're going to believe you, Moses. Don't worry about it. Got it covered, because you're not going in word only. You're not going just with your testimony. I am with you. I will convince them, Moses. Not your job to convince. Your job is to bear the testimony. Your job is just go tell them. Wait till I get to Peter. He shifted the entire birth, the entire Gentile church. He didn't even get to finish his message. You'll be amazed how easy it is to get it done when God has the proper equipment, because you're not going to do it. It's the Holy Ghost that's going to do it. He is going to do the convincing, not us. We're just going to bear the testimony. Literally, we get the easier job in this. The Holy Ghost one's going to do the convincing, and he well knows how to convince, because he's going to show the world something they haven't seen. God has not lost his touch. I believe he's reserved the best wine for the last. I believe he's reserved the power, the best power for the last. I believe we're going to see such creative power in these last days that the world is going to be undeniable. Even the Jewish leaders of their day said, what are we going to do? This man doeth many miracles. We cannot deny it. But we got to stop him lest he taketh away our church. Because the people were exiting the synagogues and running after the Lord. The chief priest was losing their revenue. Didn't like it. Didn't like the fact that they were losing their power base. They liked to control. They were losing all that. That's why they were angry. They knew the Lord could do miracles. Even Nicodemus said, no man can do these things unless they're from God. You know, it wasn't their doctrine. He was there to present a new doctrine, shift a dispensation. He wasn't going to do it without power. No more than Moses was going to deliver Egypt without power. Why is it going to be different for our day and age? The church is far more eloquent than it's ever been. The church can say it. I mean, you turn on TV, everybody's preaching something. It looks good, sounds good, tastes good. It's just not having an impact. The world continues on the way it is. Breaks my heart. People want to live for the world. When Jesus stood in front of that nobleman of Capernaum, first thing he told him is that he says, unless you see signs, you will nowise believe. That's the first thing he said to him. He said, you grow up in an arena that you're not impressed with anything. You grew up to believe the whole world is there to serve you. That's the way it is. He goes, but unless you see signs and wonders, you're not going to believe. He did see signs and wonders, and he believed, and his whole household believed. Anyway, moving on. Verse 9, and it shall come to pass, if they don't believe these two signs, neither hearken unto the voice, thou shalt take water out of the river. He gives them a third sign. Pour it on dry land, and I'm going to take that water, and I'm going to turn it into blood. He goes, then they'll believe. I honestly believe God would have just kept going down the line. Now, this is where he's sending them to the leaders of the country, the elders. He said, I will convince them, just keep going, Moses. The rod, nope, you're not impressed with that. Leprosy, not impressed with that. Take water, not impressed with that. We'll just keep going until you believe I'm sent. Because you're going with me to Pharaoh. You got to believe that God sent me. He was going to convince them, amen? Now look at verse 17. I love this. He's sending them. He's commissioning him. And he says, verse 17, and thou shalt take this rod in thy hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. Thou shalt do signs. Thayer's Greek definition of signs is, I like it. You ready for this? Miracles and wonders by which God authenticates the man sent from him. Miracles and wonders by which God authenticates the man sent from him. Miracles and wonders which authenticates the message that authenticates the witness. That's why God will do it. Amen. Look at verse 30. Exodus 4, verse 30. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses and did signs in the sight of the people, and the people believed. They didn't believe what they said. They believed the signs. They told them God has appeared. They said, yeah, right. Who appeared to you? God appeared to me. God of Abraham, Isaac. And how did he, what did he look like? Well, he was in a bush. Burned with fire. And I looked upon him. Ah, one of those guys. Yeah, we understand, Moses. We understand. But it wasn't until they started demonstrating. When they started demonstrating, ah, we understand. So he convinces the elders, now it's time to go to Pharaoh. Amen. Got the elders convinced. They know because he did signs. Deuteronomy 34, verse 10. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to all his servants in all the land, and all the mighty hand, and all that great terror which Moses showed in the sight of Israel. You know the story when he approached Pharaoh. He told him, let my people go. God has appeared to me. And he brought the elders with him. Pharaoh goes, who is this God that he appeared to you? I don't know him. He increased their burdens. And God said, surely he's not going to let you go, but I'm going to break him. I'm going to do something. And I mean one sign, one plague, one after another, until the firstborn. Got all the way down to the firstborn. And when the firstborn of Egypt was taken, Pharaoh said, get out. I'm done. Frogs, lice, plagues, boils, blood, locusts. He was a hard-hearted dude. I'd have stopped with the frogs for certain. So God gives Moses the message. See, he gives him the eyewitness. He says, you go tell him I'm going to be with you. And Moses starts arguing. He said, Lord, I can't talk. I'm not eloquent of speech. And God cuts a deal with him, with Aaron. He said, all right, look. Aaron's going to be your mouth. And he goes, I'm going to speak to you, Moses. Because you're the witness I've established, and you're going to give it to Aaron, and Aaron's going to talk on your behalf. I mean, God can get the job done. Great, mighty Moses couldn't even go and speak. If God's got to get it done that way, that's the way he's going to get it done. Because all he needs is that testimony released anyway. Because what's the signs, miracles, and wonders for? They're going to believe. Verse 22. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel's my son, my firstborn. Let him go. Go to chapter 5, verse 1 real quick. Verse 1, chapter 5. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in. Who said they went in? They were sent in. You don't go in front of a nation, a leader like that. You better be sent. Otherwise, they will not be impressed. Most preachers get in front of the leaders of the nation, bow down to them. When you go in front of sent God, you don't bow. You are sent. Sit in the Pharaoh and thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go. You don't go talking like that unless you're sent. And if you're sent, he's going to let them go. God has not lost his touch. I believe with all my heart, God is going to reestablish commission. He's going to reestablish eyewitness. He's going to reestablish doctrine. And the Holy Ghost is going to come upon God's people again. The Holy Ghost is going to come and do signs, miracles, wonders, and demonstration again. That's going to convince the world there's a living God. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 3, and they said, the God of the Hebrews have met with us. They told Pharaoh, who is this God? Obviously, you have better things to do, so he increased their labors and their burdens. But God broke his back. Then he swallowed them up in the Red Sea. The entire army, some scholar, had worked it out. That a certain place, and he had done all this theological research, that they passed over really, really wasn't that deep after all. They were actually to pass over because God really didn't part the sea. I mean, we understand that they just passed over in a foot of water. It was a really shallow place God sent them to. And he was teaching, and this 10-year-old boy goes, and he goes, yes. He goes, God, that's a greater miracle than I thought. He goes, how say, young man? He goes, God drowned the entire Egyptian army in 1 foot of water. Wow! Wow! I wish I'd have been there to see that guy's face. An entire Egyptian army drowned in 1 foot of water. What a powerful nation was delivered by the mighty hand of God. We're trying to get the Holy Ghost to come upon us like that. But he needs certain things. You'd be better to start finding out what it is that caused the Holy Ghost to show up like that. He had certain things. He had the same thing with the Lord Jesus Christ. He had the same thing with the apostles, the same thing with Peter, the same thing with Paul. These men had the exact same thing. They had a commission. They had a witness. They had a doctrine and a word. They were sent. And the Holy Ghost was with them. You can write this down. It's not wrong to desire to be commissioned from above. It's not wrong to ask for the way God does these things. It's just wrong to appoint yourself. Hebrews said it. He goes, no man, the high priest was called of God. No man take this honor to himself. Even the Lord had to be called out by an oath. God swore to him he would make him after the order of Melchizedek. Swore that he would do it. Called him out by an oath. Because he himself didn't take his honor unto himself. Ask yourself this question. I've been saying this a lot lately. Imagine the Lord growing up in Nazareth. 30 years grew up. How many cousins, friends? That's a small city. Everyone knew each other. How many did he have to watch die before he was commissioned? Not one single recorded miracle until the age of 30. He knew the Father, by the age of 12, he was in the temple disputing with the lawyers. He goes, don't you know I'll be about my Father's business? But it wasn't his time. When the Holy Ghost fell, he returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit and declared, the Spirit of the Lord God is now upon me. He went right back in that. He taught in synagogues. It was his custom to do that. He grew up in the synagogues. He read in the synagogue. But there was something different about that day. When he walked in there, said they all set their eyes upon him. There was an anointing and a glory upon him now. He went to the baptism of John and the Father publicly ordained him with an audible voice. When he was ordained, the Holy Spirit come upon him. Man, after his 40 days, he went right back in to Nazareth and he declared, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me now. And they knew it. And they rejected him for it. Who is this? Not the carpenter's son? Because that was a city of unbelief. They wanted to throw him over the brow of the hill for even suggesting it. He moved his entire family. He moved his disciples. He moved everybody out of Nazareth and moved to Capernaum and set up shop in Capernaum. And the meetings were on. The Bible says Jesus in Acts 2 was approved of God. Listen to this, 2 and 22. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you with miracles, signs, wonders, and mighty deeds. He was approved of the Father. There is an authentication and approving from heaven that comes when you're sent, that comes when you're commissioned, that comes when you're given a message from heaven. God Himself, the Holy Ghost, come upon you and back your testimony. That's what we're after. That's what we want. Or we can just go build a big church with a bunch of departments and have a really good time. Or we can get God's blueprint for how to change a nation. Amen. I'm choosing the blueprint. I don't know about you, but I'm choosing the blueprint. Surely, the signs of an apostle, the signs of an apostle, the authentication process of God, surely the signs of an apostle were among you with miracles, signs, wonders, and mighty deeds. Paul was telling them, they didn't even know Christ was speaking. He birthed that church. He goes, you're seeking a proof that Christ is even speaking through me anymore. Surely the signs of an apostle were demonstrated among you. This is God's way. He's going to do this. He's going to do it here. He's going to do it in this city. This is a blessed city because you're in it. It's a blessed city because you're in it. Oh, by the way, Moses, don't go out without payday. Go borrow from the Egyptians all their silver, all their gold, all their jewels. It's 400 years of payday. They'll surely give it to you just to get you out of their nation. Go out with the wealth, because it's payday. You think all that would have happened with a word only? If Moses just said God showed up? No. The only thing that broke Pharaoh's back was the miracle signs and wonders that he did. And Pharaoh finally said, out, get out. Get out, just go. I can't stand you anymore. Then he came to himself and said, I'm going to go back and get him. Oh, that was a bad decision. Hallelujah. Glory to God forever.